We've been teaching into what we call the five I will operations of the upper room, or you can say the right hand of God. It's the mysteries of John 14, 15, 16, and 17 that he spoke to 11 disciples that turned the world upside down. These mysteries are profound. The depth of these words, once you understand what's in there, the whole book of John will open to you. This is where we're dwelling right now, being introduced to the Father's love. Jesus said, where I am, there shall you be also. And the whole story of the gospel was to bring you to where Christ dwelleth. He didn't stay on the cross. He didn't leave you at the cross. His mission is to reconcile you to the Father, to bring you to the Father where he is. There is a love there. There's a sanctification, preparation there that's unlike anything here. Talking about the body of Christ becoming without spot and wrinkle. I actually want to talk to you about the process of sanctification. There's so many operations in the Father. He asked me, he said, I want you to go ahead and teach these five areas. There are things opening right now that I have never seen in 30 years. Everything that you see the Lord doing in the book of John, he's called us to do. Amen. And you're going to see this unfold in a marvelous way. And what we call the I will come to you. He did not leave us orphans. I will draw you to where I am. I will receive and accept you. I will reveal the Father's love. See, you determine, the Word of God determines the will of God. Once you understand His will, you move into these operations. But today, we're going to look at the I will, my Father and I will dwell with you in the earth. This is the mystery that everyone's looking for. There is an operation where the Holy Ghost comes down. There's an operation of the gifts of the Spirit. And then there's an operation of the Lord's mantle itself, the anointing without measure. He gave the mystery of this. And it can't be found anywhere else but John 14, 15, 16, and 17. He demonstrated it throughout the book of John. So today, we're going to look at the other side of this operation. We dwell where Christ is with him. He's teaching us how to dwell there. He's introducing us to the Father there. It's glorious. The Father is so full of love. He's so full, it's eternal. The Father's love is eternal. Once you learn to dwell where he is, you'll enter into a continuous love with him. When you're there with him, the fountain never stops. It's so glorious, so beautiful. This is why the Lord came, to bring you to where he is so he could reveal the Father to you. I want to move in to where we're going. Today is a compass day. Say compass. This is where the body of Christ is going. They may not know it, but that's where they're going. We're going into the Father, and the Father's coming to dwell with us in the earth. Amen. When the Father comes and dwells, he will make himself known. The Father will, if the Father's dwelling with you in the earth, he will not leave blind eyes blind. He will not leave a broken body broken. The creative realm, he brings it with him. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all a part of every miracle that will be done. We'll be looking more at that as we unfold that operation of the Father doing the works. But now we just want to look at the union that Christ and the Father has, and it's marvelous. So let's look at some of the promises in John 14, 15, 16, and 17 about the Father. And then we're going to look at Christ. He is our prototype example of the way he wants us to walk. Amen. First thing he says, John 14, verse 23, he says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he said, he will keep my words. In particular, he's talking about the words of John 14, 15, 16, 17, the words that bring you to the Father. If a man loves me, he'll keep these words, and these words have the power to bring you. He says this over and over again. These words have the power to bring you to where I am in the revealing of the Father. And that's why he said, and my Father will love him. Now listen, whether you ever keep the word of God or not, God loves you. Amen. God loves you unconditionally. He's not talking about whether it's conditional love. He says he's bringing you into tangible love. Love that initiates transformation. love that will immediately start changing you, transforming you. I mean, I'm 2 weeks into this and I'm like, wow, I wish I'd have found this 10 years ago. The intensity of his love and in the manner in which it can change and transform us when we're there with him. Everybody has encountered the love of the Father. You walk with God long enough, you're going to encounter the love. You're going to know the love. I ask you, show of hands, how many of you know the Father loves you? Raise the hand. That's a good thing, but that's not what I want to do, is take you from there to dwelling with him. Amen. Dwelling in the Father's love. Not just knowing the Father's love, going into where tangible love, like a fountain, dwells and releases into your life. He says, my Father will love him, and we will come unto him where you are. You're going to find John constantly referring to jurisdictions. Where he is, where we are. Where he is, where we are. And once you learn to meditate and understand it that way, you'll understand what he's saying. We will come unto him where you are, and we will make our abode, say abode. The Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit's already here with us. The Father, Christ, dwells in us, but the Father comes and makes his abode. Now that's what Jesus had. He had the Father dwelling with him in the earth. Glory to God. He says again in John 14, 20, at that day you shall know that I, when he says I am in my Father, he says I dwell in my Father and you dwell in me. At that day, what day? The day that you understand these words, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to you. He's going to reveal these words to you. He's going to bring you to where I am. And at that day, when he brings you to where I am and teaches you jurisdictional transfer, you're going to know, intimately know that I dwell in my Father and you dwell in me. That's where he is. And I, say, I dwell in you. You see that shift? We're shifting to where he is, and then he shifts to where we are. We're always looking for God to come down to where we are. But God's prerequisite to come and dwell with us here. Now, he'll anoint us here, but there's a difference. He's not talking about anointing us. He's talking about taking residence with us. Like he did on the tabernacle of Moses, he took residence. He was resident. That's what everyone wants. The manifestation of the sons of God on the earth. The resident God dwelling with his sons in the earth. For this to come, we have to come up, because he's going to reimage us there. Love's going to reimage us. Love's going to transform us. Love, we got into this Wednesday night. He said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. He said, if a man abide in me, a branch abideth in me, he goes, I'll prune it. He didn't say I'll prune it. He says, he will prune it. Who? The Father will prune it. He'll prune it where he'll bear much fruit. Who's doing the pruning? The Father. Where is that at? He said, if you abide in me where I am, my Father will prune you. But if a branch does not abide in me, it's cast forth into the earth, where men do gather them and burn them with fire. And every, I mean, you get a Pentecostal holiness church and they will go to town on that scripture. Well, what he's talking about, if you don't abide in me and do it my way, where my Father does the pruning in his love, then what happens? You get detached from me. And when you get detached from me, you come out of alignment with me. And what happened is your life's given over to the systems of this world, the fiery trials of this world, the furnace of affliction. He wasn't talking about hell. The blood of Jesus saves you whether you abide or don't abide. Amen. But if you don't abide, it's going to get rough for you. Because if you abide where he is, the Father's love will do the pruning. It's the Father prune, but if you don't, the world system will do it for you. How many of you have ever been pruned in the world system? Not a fun place, is it? John 17, he's going to repeat this twice. That's why I separated the verses. He's going to show you in him, he and us. In him, he and us. He's constantly repeating this. Neither I pray for these alone, but them also which shall believe in me through their word. Say, that's me. Their word came down to the generations. They left the testimony, came down to the generations, and you have the Bible, which was their words. You have the words of John 14, 15, 16, 17. He's talking about you there. Say, I believe. In verse 21, And they all may be one. Now here again, watch this. He goes, Father, you dwell in me and I in you. He's talking about their oneness. And they also may be one in us. Now he's not talking right there. He's not talking about unity in the body of Christ. He says, as I dwell in you, Father, where you are, they're going to come to where we are and they're going to dwell in us and be one, not in deity, in union, fellowship. We're not equal in the deity. We're equal in the union. But it's a glorious place of oneness. He calls it his glory. And he gave it to us. What he held with the Father, to be loved of the Father for all creation, he gave us this position. And he's calling us up to it. Amen? So you see that position where he is, and then he shifts it. Once that's achieved, once that's entered into, watch what he says. Next verse, verse 22, and the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one. Don't read that like unity in the body of Christ. He's not talking about that. He's talking about dwelling in heavenly places. And then he comes and dwells with us. They may be one in us. And once you dwell with him, watch what he says. Again, here it is. And then I in them, thou in me. See, we will come and now dwell in them. In the earth. He's shifting from heavenly jurisdiction to earthly jurisdiction. Dwell with me where I am. I dwell with you where you are. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfected in oneness. When you dwell with God, there's a perfected oneness. Now, that the world may know you have sent me and has loved them in the same way, Father, you've loved me. He gave you his position of union with the Father. He gave you a way to get there. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He gave you his Holy Spirit to bring you to where he is. And then he begins the revealing of the Father. Oh, man, when I ask him, when I'm in there with him, and reveal the Father. I don't know how he does it. It just wipes you out. It's glorious. I said, God, I need another body to handle this. For 30 years I've been walking with you. Why couldn't I attain this? He said, you're attaining it now. Is he good? I'm like, is he good? He's glorious. The Lord reveals the Father. When I get in, I said, Lord, you know him better than anybody. Show me the Father. Show me the Father. He says he'll openly reveal him to you. The Holy Spirit reveals the Lord. He said, he will glorify me. The Lord reveals the Father. The Lord reveals and glorifies the Father. That's why he said, glorify the Son. Bring me back where I was with you in the beginning, Father, and then I will glorify you to the nations. I'll bring them to you. See it? He repeats it again. Watch this, verse 24. Father, this is one of his final prayers. Get it straight what he wills for you. Father, I will. They be with me, whom you've given me, be with me where I am. I'm going to write a book, Where I Am. Where I Am. Say, Father, I will. Whom thou hast given me, with me where I am, that they may behold my glory that I have with you, which you've given me, for you lovest me from the foundation of the world, and now I'm bringing them there. See how he speaks from that position. You're with him where he is. And so you're with him where he is. Now watch, he'll shift that back. Because if you his promise, if you dwell with me where I am, my Father will perfect you. My Father's going to re-image you. I can't wait to talk to you about how he sanctifies us, separates us from the world. And then he separates the world from us. And he says, once you're there and the Father begins that process of sanctification by his glorious love, then he's getting ready to come and dwell with you. The manifested sons of God on the earth, it's going to happen in this generation. So he comes back and look at verse 26. And I've declared unto them thy name. I will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them and I in them. See, we dwell with you, Father, where you are. You dwell with us where we are. See how that works? When you learn to read John 14, 15, 16, 17, it'll constantly, that pendulum will constantly swing. One way it'll swing towards where he is, the other one swings to where we are. Amen. Now, right there, I want you to see this verse, verse 26. Now you're going to understand the second commandment. The first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. If you don't do that one right, you won't be in position to do the second one. And the second one, namely, love your neighbor as yourself. As I have loved you, love one another. Now listen to me. God's love, described in 1 Corinthians 13, is not human love. It doesn't originate with the soul. In fact, he said you can give your body to be burned and have not love. You give all your goods to feed the poor and not have this love. Human love can go to great extremes, but he was differentiating. It's not going to originate with you. What God is looking for you is not to be a Mary Poppins goody two shoes. Mary Poppins or Jack Daniels, both of them got to get into the Father. Jack Daniels might need a little bit more work, but Mary Poppins, under all that nice exterior, there might be a few things going on there. She might be a goldfish on the outside and a piranha on the inside. She just knows how to contain the piranha better than Jack Daniels does. Both of them got to get into the Father. So he said, when he says love one another, he's talking about, people don't understand this. I mean, you're trying to attain to a love that's not of this world. You're going to fail if you try to do that on your own strength. When he says, by this shall all men know you're my what? Disciples. He didn't say, by this shall all men know you're born again. He said, by this shall all men know you're my disciplined follower. One who takes up his cross, follows me into the Father, follows me to where I am, into the love of the Father. When he comes back, you're going to carry the Father. They're going to see the Father and they're going to know that the Father loves you the way he's loved me. That's going to be on the other side of the Father's love, not on this side. Don't beat yourself up and try not to beat up each other on your way. God has a lot of mercy on your way to him. I'm living an example of that. He'll forgive your stuff. Now, sometimes there's going to be a few bodies on your way there, you know. It's not easy to take all your stuff and get it into the Father. Sometimes there's a lot of people that gets hurt in your ascent to the Father. But if you can get this compass set and understand what the Father wants and understand he's not holding all that against you, even though you'll hold it against you and people, dear Lord, will hold against you for life. He won't hold it against you. His mission is to get you to where he is so he can begin the perfecting process. I am convinced this revival coming, this glorious awakening, revival, last day operation of God, somebody's going to get born again and we're going to be able to immediately teach them how to move in the Spirit and get to where the Father's at. He's going to begin his process of sanctification, preparation. He's going to begin to love and the perfecting. Where it's taken 40 or 50 years, mark my word, in the days to come, God is going to start perfecting babes overnight. Somebody say, how long have you known the Lord? 6 months? How can you look like that? I've been doing this 50 years. So I'm dwelling in the Father. We're going to be able to march people straight in the Father. Because the best time to get them, when they're first born again, they don't know anything. Teach them right. Don't let religion get a hold of them. Boy, once they get the lenses of religion, you can't even breach it. Just teach them. They'll know how to do it. I tell you, you take hunger and the word and they'll jump in. We have to come in by this. By all men will know you're the disciple. Jesus, his definition of a disciple is far different than our definition. His definition is one that takes up his cross daily, denies self in the flesh. I'm coming in to the Father. I'm going to come to where you are. I'm coming in to your glory. I'm coming in. You're going to reveal the Father to me. The Father's going to begin the perfecting process. The Father's love. I'm going to come out with his love. And they're going to know. The world's going to know the Father has loved you in the same way he's loved the Lord. Because they're going to see it on you. Amen. This compass is so valuable. These words are so valuable. They'll save you a lifetime of trouble. a lifetime of problems, a lifetime of pursuit, they'll get you where you want to be fast. They'll stream you right into the Father. Look at the Lord. This is what the Father said. Watch the Lord. Watch the relationship that I had, the Father and Son relationship, especially in the book of John, because John, boy, he got it. No other writer wrote like this, like John. That John understood this. He laid his head into the breast of the Lord. He laid his head into the bosom of the Lord, and he caught it. He caught the heartbeat of God. Glory to God. But if we look at this relationship with the Father and the Son, we're going to see this union. John 14, verse 6 and 7. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but me. If you had known me, now, he's amazing what he said. If you had known me, you should have known the Father. You should have known that he's been with me the whole time. And from henceforth, you know him. He didn't say shall or will. He says, you know him. He's basically saying, from henceforth, you're going to know him the way I know him. He was on a mission to reveal the Father. And he's still on that same mission. I understand now why he called it the Father his joy. I understand why he wants to reveal. He goes, listen, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I go away, I can't send my Holy Spirit to bring you where I am. He said, if you think walking with me in the earth was something, wait till I introduce you to union with the Father. You can't have that right now. But if I go away by way of the cross, I'm going to give you a spirit. I'm going to give you a new creation. I'm going to make you a new creation. And that spirit's going to be able to come to where I am. And I'm going to be able to join that new man with the Father. And when I do, you're going to understand the joy of the ages. Man, he's on a mission. That's what he means by saving you. Amen. Michael Fuller and I, we were talking one day and he brought this out. He goes, you know, the Father was so close. He was so close in dwelling with the Lord in our jurisdiction. That sometimes he just speak through the Lord. The Father would just speak. Now, we know he spoke audibly, but he just speak through him. And he brought out this scripture, and then the Holy Spirit showed me this other one yesterday. Look at this. Philip said to him, show us the Father. Probably the wrong thing to say at this point. I mean, the Lord said, Philip, have I been with you such a long time? Notice the words. Jesus said, but look at the words, because he said, show us the Father. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long a time with you, and yet thou hast not known me? Notice what he didn't say, have I been with you such a long time and you've not known the Father? He said, have I not been with you, Philip, such a long time and you've not known me? The Father just spoke right there. He spoke right through the Lord. Isn't that glorious? Philip said, show us the Father. And the Father says, I got this one. He used the Lord's voice because he was dwelling with him. And he says, it's been such a long time I've been with you and you have not known me, Philip. The Father addressed Philip personally. That's pretty good. Is that good? Let's look at this other one. John 2, that was John 14. Look at John 2, 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou, seeing you do these things? He says, show us a sign, because he's talking about the Father all through John. He goes, I'm not doing this. It's the Father that's doing this. He says, my doctrine's not my own. If you look at the bottom of the page, he said, my doctrine's not my own. I and myself can't do nothing. He's telling them the whole time, I'm not doing this. It's the Father in me that's doing it. And they said, show us a sign. And Jesus answered, and then the Father speaks up. He said, you want a sign? He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. The Bible, you can do a search multiple times, specifically says the Father raised him from the dead. Said the Father raised him from the dead. In fact, I gave one of the examples. Paul, an apostle, Galatians 1, amen. One in one, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus and God the Father who raised him from the dead. But they asked for a sign and the Father took over again and spoke directly. This is the oneness. This is how God will dwell the Father took over and said, destroy this temple, this body I'm dwelling in right now. And in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up. I will raise it up. Father talking. Say amen. The Father speaks. He spoke audibly a couple of times. When he'd speak audibly, he said, this voice is not for my sake. This is for your sake. He goes, I already know him. He's not talking like that for me. He's talking like that for you. So look at John 8, verse 29. Oh, I love this verse right here. Now listen, this is really important. Wherever you see anywhere when Jesus says, the Father sent to me, you can tag this verse right here. He that sent me is with me. Say, he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. I wasn't just commissioned to come down here on my own with the Holy Ghost. The Father that sent me, he's dwelling with me. It is the Father that dwelleth with me that's doing these works. He constantly said it. Everyone believes Jesus was doing this. He was doing it, but it was the Father doing it through him. And he constantly said, I cannot do anything of myself. I can only do what I see him doing. Because he that sent me is with me. This is the revelation of the ages. It's the mystery of the manifestation of the sons of God. This is going to happen with God's full-age sons in this hour. God doesn't take 50 years to make full-age sons. And the love of the Father, when you start moving into the love of the Father, he can advance you at levels untold. God does not operate on linear time. When you in love does not operate on linear time. What took somebody 50 years on the backside of the desert, God can do in 5 months. 5 weeks. He'll accelerate all things. His love will accelerate the transformation. It will accelerate the perfecting to where the Father comes and dwells with us. To where we say, he that sent me, the Father and Son dwelleth with me, and you will see him today. You'll see the Father, because when he comes across broken humanity, he will never leave it that way. John 8:38, I speak that which I have seen, say seen, with my Father. Everyone's trying to hear and think, and they're trying to understand. And I've heard people I taught on those verses. You know, Father, I got to see what you're doing. Show me what you're doing. It's different when he's with you. Then he's 1,000 miles away in heaven. You're trying to get him to communicate with you. Jesus wasn't trying to get the Father to communicate with him. The Father was with him. There's a difference when the Father's dwelling in you than getting the Father communicate. You see that? That's what's going to change. Amen. These words take all the limitations. John 10:30, I and my Father are one. Boy, that got him in some trouble. That got him in a lot of trouble. Notice what he said in John 15:24. If they had not done among them the works which no other man did, they had not sinned. But now have they both seen, say seen, me and my Father. Say me and my Father. They've seen both of us. See the oneness there? See the Father dwelling with him in here? Every time you see this, you have to understand this is God's design for you. He's going to bring the same level of relationship. But he's going to do that by us coming to dwell with him first. You need to dwell with him. There's a certain perfecting and a certain sanctification that takes place. Sanctified means separation. He's going to separate you from the world. And then in his love, he's going to separate the world from you. And when he does that, he's going to inhabit those places. You can't achieve that kind of conquering in the earth system. It can only be done in the love of the Father. It's that level that he wants. Amen. Notice John 5. The Son can do nothing of himself. See it? He can only do what I see my Father doing. I myself can do nothing, John 5:30. As I hear, I judge. That is the oneness. Amen. Go to John 16:32. Man, when he showed me this yesterday, I was trembling. I never seen it like that before. What I'm about to share with you, I've never seen, never heard preached. I'm sure it has been preached. I just never heard it preached. I was trembling when I saw this. John 16, verse 32, we'll begin here. It says, behold, the hour cometh. Yes, it is now come that you shall be scattered, every man to his own. He's talking to his disciples. You're all going to be scattered. He's talking about in the garden. Remember in the garden, Gethsemane? He says, when they come, you're going to be scattered and you shall leave me alone in the garden. And yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. Now, if the Father was with him in the garden after his disciples scattered, how far did the Father go with him? How far did the Father go? How far did he go? Well, let's go to the garden. So in Matthew 26, we've taught on this before. He begins to feel the birth pains of the cross. I mean, it is overwhelming him. My soul is exceeding sorrowful. He departs. He pulls himself aside and he's asking his disciples, wait and pray. He pulls himself aside and he goes and prays and he doesn't get any victory. He comes back and he says, Peter, my soul, I mean, he is sharing with Peter. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful. Watch him pray with me. Stay with me. Three times he does this. He goes back. He comes back. He doesn't have the victory yet. The disciples are still with him, by the way. They haven't scattered yet. Three times he goes back. Let this cup pass from me, Father. Everything in his flesh was resisting the cross. He understood the weightiness of bearing the sin of the world was starting to bear down on him. It was starting to bear down on every part of him. And he was feeling it. I mean, exceeding sorrow. And he came back. Three times he asked the Father, let this cup pass from me. Let this cup pass. He got the same answer, but he said, nevertheless, thy will be done. On the third time, he didn't come back shaken. The third time, something was on him. He come out the third time, he said, sleep on now, disciples. Take your rest. I've got. Now, disciples still, he said, you're going to be scattered. They hadn't been scattered yet. He said, you're going to leave me alone in the garden, but I am not alone. My Father's with me. Now he has the Father with him. The first thing they do when Judas confronts them with those guys, the power of God hits them and they all fall out. That's the first thing that happened when they confronted. In fact, y'all want to look at that. Go to John 18, 6. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things should come upon him, went forth and said to them, whom do you seek? And they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as they had said unto him, this was his third time coming back. As soon as he said unto I am he, they fell backwards. They went backwards and fell to the ground. All the captors, all of them, and Judas, all were slayed in the Spirit of God. People who don't believe in the slaying of the Spirit, he slayed those men that were coming to take him. Power of God, the Father was with him right there. Father was with him. He says, and then one of Peter pulled out a sword, took the ear off of Malchus, one of the captors. He says, listen, all that live by the sword will die by the sword. That's not what this is about. He took that ear and slapped it on him. That was the Father healing him right there. He says, do you not know that I can what? Call upon my Father right now for 12 legions of angels, and do you not know I could presently call upon him for 12 legions of angels and he would come immediately. Father was with him. If the Father was with him there, that's when all the disciples scattered. That's when they scattered. He said, you're going to all leave me alone with my captors. Yet I'm not alone. Say, the Father is with me. That means the Father went into Jerusalem with him. That means when they spat, these people believed in the Father. They just didn't believe in him as the Son. That means when they walked him into Jerusalem, when they were spitting upon him, they were spitting upon the Father. That means when they took him to the scourging post, he didn't do that alone. Every one of those stripes he bore, the Father was with him. Well, I don't know about that. He said, I'm not alone. My Father's with me. Just hang on. We'll get there. I didn't give you page 3 for a reason. That means when he went to the cross, and he took the beatings, the scourgings, and he hung up on that cross. He was praying right there, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now watch what happens. You ready? Go to Matthew 27. Boy, when he showed me this, I was trembling. The Father never left him until the very, very end. When the Father had to depart, the Holy Spirit stayed with him a little longer. But the Father had to withdraw for him to become the sin offering of the world. And the Father had, and he began to feel the Father withdraw from him. On the cross, the Father went all the way and hung there on the cross with him. And then the Father had to leave him to become the sin offering. And when he began to leave him, is when the Lord began to cry these words. Is this intense or what? How far will the Father go with you? How far will he go with us in this generation? I understand why how the disciples could lose their life. They weren't doing it in their own. Another was undergirding them. Matthew 27:45. Now from the 6th hour there was darkness all over the land until the 9th hour. Matthew 27:46. And about the 9th hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, say, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, my Father, my Father. Why have you forsaken me? It was right there the Father withdrew from him and gave him to be the sin offering of the world. And he felt the withdrawal of the Father. He said, why have you departed from me? Why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me desolate? He had to. I don't know how the Father done that, knowing the love of how he could give his Son other than his love for us. He could leave him like that. Why have you abandoned me? Left him. Departed right there. The Father was with him all the way to that point. When he was striped and bearing the stripes, the Father was bearing it with him. When he was beat, the Father was bearing it with him. When they put the crown of thorns on his head, they were crowning the Father too. Some of them stood there when they heard and said, this man calls for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, put on a reed and gave him drink. And the rest said, let us see whether Elias will come and save him. And then verse 50 is when the Holy Spirit left. The Holy Spirit stayed with him to the very end. You know why the Father had to leave? The Father had to lift from him so the sin, he would become the sin offering. And that's where Isaiah 52 said, his visage is so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. It wasn't the beatings, it was the law of sin and death. As soon as the Father withdrew, the law of sin and death came upon him and caused him to where his visage was contorted more than any man. And the Holy Spirit stayed with him to the very end. And then he withdrew from him. You did this for us, just so we could know the Father.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.